complex situation.
You've been listening to us talk about a cartoon. It's visual. But KBIA has made the decision to follow NPR's lead in not publishing either the cover of today's issue or the cartoons at the center of everything that's gone on in the last week, and even longer than that. It's a controversial decision that wasn't reached hastily. There are a lot of considerations that have to go into a decision like this. What are some of them? Let's share those with our audience.
Well, I think it's a very, very complex situation because I was trying to weigh up the pros and cons myself. And on the one hand, you've got sort of the arguments that you need to spread the risk around. You can't have sort of outliers like Charlie Hebdo. You need to sort of, if everybody takes a stand, there's strength in solidarity. There's also the journalistic imperative that audiences need context to understand the issue. That if you're reporting about something and audiences can't see what exactly it is you're reporting about, they've got to fill in that information themselves. And there's also the argument, I think, that if journalism is to sort of put its head above the parapet and take a stand on one issue, it should be for liberal democracy and the values that it stands for. On the other hand, you know, in general, I find sort of publishing something because I can or because I have the right to offend is very weak ethical reasoning. And it needs to be accompanied with an explanation about the values of free expression and what free expression means to a democratic society.
And I think looking at this in particular, while you could see it, and I agree with kind of that weighing and that there are things on both sides of this, but when you look at when you already have a policy in place that you will not show depictions of the Prophet Muhammad, which is the case for many news organizations, mm-hmm. they are still standing on that same policy when they're looking at these cartoons. And I would say further, there are satirical comedians here in this country that may say something. I was listened to part of what Bill Maher had to say about all of this, and I was thinking, would we air what Bill Maher has to say? It was controversial. It could be seen as anti-Muslim in some ways, I suppose you could take it that way. So I was trying to weigh, would we show a clip of a satirical comedian talking about the same thing? And mm-hmm. I would say generally not. And so that was sort of where I came down, is looking at how a news organization is going to carry their existing policy for this. And then looking at, you know, at what, when do you as a news organization air satire and things like that?
Yeah, I think it definitely speaks to sort of the blurred boundaries of the contemporary media environment. You know, what is satire? What is journalism? I think we need to sort of not conflate the two, certainly. But when it comes to talking about journalism specifically, there is a sort of irony about this, that we're sort of maybe combating censorship by ordering journalists what to do. You know, you need to show these images.
Almost a reverse censorship type of
thing. Yeah, and that sort of makes me a little bit uncomfortable. Ultimately, I think that journalists, the sort of the decision-making nexus needs to be around, you know, are we generating more light or heat by publishing these images? If we're shedding some light and we're aligning our objectives here with our function in a democracy, sure. But if we think that this is just going to cause problems, tension, inflammation, and not shed a lot of information, then I'm less comfortable with those kinds of decisions.
Mm-hmm. Well, Monday, White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest said the best advice that the administration could offer to journalists and news organizations here in the United States is that they individually assess the situation and use good judgment.
But when you said no to Jim, you weren't making a risk assessment that there shouldn't be fear that, you know, if the New York Times or Bloomberg printed this cartoon, that we would all be killed. That you're not making a risk assessment when you're saying you shouldn't fear that.
No, what I'm saying is that individual news organizations have to assess that risk for themselves. Look, I might add that there are also journalists who assume great personal risk to tell these stories. And we've seen that some of these journalists have been captured by violent extremists who have carried out terrible acts of violence against them.
So the New York Times was among those choosing not to publish the cartoons. And Ryan, you laid out a lot of the back and forth, the pros and cons. And really, there is no right answer here. Whatever decision an editor makes or a news organization as a whole, somebody is going to take fault with it. Mark Cooper is a journalism professor at USC Annenberg. And on Facebook, he asked New York Times editor Dean Baquet how many people have to be shot in cold blood before the paper ruled that it could show the images that provoked the killers, going on to call the decision an act of cowardness, not publishing those cartoons. Becquet responded and called Cooper's statement self-righteous, second-guessing, without considering the possibility of another point of view. Then he called him a name that we probably shouldn't say on the radio. Naturally, tensions are high here, and when we approach topics like this, we too want to take a look at all of the different points of view. At least we hope we are doing that on this program. I want to ask you guys, do you think Cooper's criticism is unfair?
It seems to me to be a bit of a low blow, a bit of a cheap shot. Whether that sort of justifies the editor's response, I don't really know. I was sort of interested. I saw online Alan Rusbridger, the editor of The Guardian, was at some public forum, and he mentioned the fact that he and his editors on Twitter mm-hmm. are being pressured to run images and the most extreme images, and he sort of compared it to an arms race, right? That you can't show this image, you have to show the most extreme image. That's what you need to show. And really, that gets us nowhere, right? So if you have to think, are we showing the images because we can or because they serve a journalistic purpose? And what Rusbridger just said The Guardian would do would apply its normal editorial values, its normal standards, and reason that this kind of normality, this sort of keep calm and carry on approach, I suppose, was the best way to respond. And it did show the latest cover, but very small and with a disclaimer, which I think on balance was the right approach.
Now, earlier today, Margaret Sullivan, the public editor at the New York Times, came out and said that she feels that perhaps the newspaper did make a wrong decision, that if there are people out there, and I don't know how many there really are, who are only getting their news from the New York Times, they won't have that context. And she, too, is calling now for a review of how that decision was made within that newsroom. Jamie, I want to ask you this. As managing editor at KUMU, how does proximity factor into this? If you're talking about a national news organization like the New York Times versus a local newsroom and a conversation that might go on there, say, in America's heartland.
Sure. Well, I think there's a couple of things here. One being that as a local affiliate station, like all local affiliate stations, we are getting our content from our affiliate. In our case, it's through NBC, mm-hmm. who has also made the decision to blur out covers, to only speak of them, not to show particular covers. And it kind of goes back to all of those things we've already talked about. I think there is another difference in television, and at least usually in the local television format, which is that we do not have an editorial page. Mm-hmm. And I think that is part of the key argument here, because some newspapers have chosen to show the cartoons or discuss the cartoons in different ways on their editorial pages than they have on their news pages. In television, we in general don't have that. Now, when you go to the CNN level and you have some pundits and you have those types of people, there are some editorialized more editorialized
segments.
We're
going to talk about that a little bit
right.
later in the show.
I just think, you know, on this local level, that changes things a little bit. And what we are doing is essentially taking, you know, the national coverage that there is and listening to the judgment calls made by our affiliate.
And when you bring up the idea of an editorial section or an opinion section in a newspaper, that's something that is sometimes a little too nuanced to the reader to understand the division that comes in between an editorial board and the newsroom itself, and how those are separate entities that in almost every case operate independently of one another within that single publication. You had also mentioned, Jamie, before the show that you had heard some of the editors from Charlie Hebdo mm-hmm. voicing some disappointment that American publications had not taken a stronger stance to go ahead and publish some of these.
Right. Last night on the Rachel Maddow show on mm-hmm. MSNBC, she had one of the correspondents who had interviewed and gotten some exclusive interviews with a contributor mm-hmm. of Charlie Hebdo, and had talked to her about the fact that many American media outlets had decided not to show these covers. And she said something to the effect of that was pretty sickening to her. And the other thing that stuck out to me in watching the coverage on MSNBC, or listening to the coverage, I should say, was that a lot of people in France were unaware of the fact that some American media had chosen not to show these images, and that there was a pretty strong reaction from some people, and I guess also including some of the family members of some of those journalists, some of those cartoonists who were killed.
I think it highlights a problem of generalization about journalism and media, that there's great variation across countries and then within countries. So what may be acceptable in France, even for a satirical publication, may not be acceptable ethically, I'm not talking legally, for a publication in the United States. And it still remains a judgment call for those editors.
I think that's what's interesting about all of this is it's another one of those cases that we talk about here at the Journalism School, and I know you talk about a lot on Views of the News, is when journalists become a part of the story and when journalists are expected to take a stance on this. And in this case, take a stance means publish the cartoon or don't publish the cartoon. And that's asking journalists to do something that we are not comfortable doing, which is to say what we think.
Because so often in our professional lives, we are making a point of separating our personal opinions, our personal beliefs. And I know that's something that I'm constantly working with students on doing and kind of reinforcing that message of we don't sign petitions. We don't change our social media avatars to whatever the current meme is in support of a certain cause or something like that. Yet this cause hits so close to home.
I had an interesting, quickly, I had an interesting conversation with a student journalist probably a day after the attacks, and he had mentioned that he sees a lot of news anchors at the end of a story like that say, our thoughts go out to the people who are impacted by this tragedy. And he asked about putting that in the end of our story. And I said, no, we're not doing that. We drive a pretty hard line here at the school with saying that we aren't going to do those things, and at KOMU. But it was an interesting question that he had really keyed in on.
I give him a lot of credit for asking.
Absolutely. And it was an interesting, we had a very big newsroom conversation about this. Do we say these types of things at the end of these types of stories? And we didn't, but it did spark a really interesting conversation.
Or how language matters, that it becomes one of those natural things as you're writing a story that you want to call it a tragedy. Well, of course, we don't think it's a good thing that it happened, but to put tragedy inserts that bias into the reporting right there, as opposed to a less loaded word, calling it a terrorist attack, or because somewhere, somebody isn't going to think what happened was tragic.
And I think it does just go back to Jamie's earlier point about how in many ways print has it easier than broadcast, because even if you choose to use the image, you can have the image and then have an explainer in the editorial section by the editor or by a columnist explaining that decision. That's not a luxury you generally have in broadcasting.